With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
This is a Locker Room production.
And we are back on part two of our bonus content. Enjoy.
All right, let's get into another topic. We talked about Thanksgiving. Let's get into training camp battles.
And we thank you, Eli, for joining.
Yeah, thank you, Eli, for coming on.
We had a question from Lucas. I don't want to say this is a battle, but this is a good question. So he said, what do you think the timeshare between Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift will look like?
Oh, okay. I think it's just who's the hot hand. I think they're going to use them both very versatile in, like, the game. Like, I think both guys are going to be used a very, you know, good share in a game. Like, I think if we go back to the Packers offense, let's just go back to the Packers offense when they had Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. There were certain times where they had certain play packages for Jamal Williams, and they had certain times for certain packages for Aaron Jones. I feel like Anthony Lynn is going to have a similar mix like that with Swift and Jamal Williams. And I think Swift is kind of a somewhat comparable back to an Aaron Jones. Like, Aaron Jones was the 1A in Green Bay, and I think Swift is our 1A in Detroit. And then with Jamal, I think he's just the perfect complement for, you know, most running backs in the NFL. So I think Jamal Williams will be a very perfect complement for a guy like DeAndre Swift, and a guy that the Lions really just need to, for him. A guy that could get a decent amount of carries, a guy who could start in a game. I think in a game, a normal game, where both guys are healthy, I think the plan for a guy like Swift and Williams, I think we could look for Williams to maybe get, I would say, 10 to 11 carries a game, I feel like, is possible for a guy like Jamal Williams.
Do you remember Melvin Gordon's last year with LA or San Diego?
With Eckler, right? Yes.
And then you remember Eckler? Yes. So Anthony Lynn was the OC, and Eckler kind of, like, went crazy that year.
Yeah.
And then he kind of, like, just – I think that's how it's going to be in Detroit. It's going to be, like, so it's going to be Eckler, and then Williams is kind of going to be, like, your Melvin Gordon type of player.
Yeah, so how many carries do you expect him to get, like, a game? Like, if you had to average it, I know it's going
to be. If I had to, like, guess, I would say 70% would go to Jamal or DeAndre Swift, and about 30% to Jamal Williams. Is that good? Or maybe 65-35, something like that.
So anywhere from, like, 6 to 9, 10 carries ish for Jamal Williams.
Yeah, but if he's hot, obviously you ride him because that's just the way football works.
I agree with that. Who do you think has more touchdowns by the end of the year?
I think Swift, because Swift is more dynamic.
Or rushing touchdowns, I should say.
I still think it's Swift because he's more dynamic.
Fair enough.
Nothing against Jamal Williams, but I just think Swift is... Bro, the thing with Swift is last year he was like, they didn't use him right, and he was hurt. Imagine him being healthy.
We saw glimpses of Swift.
He's electric when he's healthy.
Yeah, he is. We saw glimpses of it last year too, like in certain games.
It's very hard to cover him one-on-one. His route running, like, for, like, as a first-year back, was really good, and his pass pro improved. I think he's going to take off this year. He has to stay healthy, though. That's the number one thing with running backs.
So you think he has the potential to be a bell cow?
Yes, and they said that too. I believe Deuce Daly said it. Like, they do think he could, like, carry the rock. Like, I would have, like, what did they say, 20 or 30 touches? Was it 25 touches a game? They said something like that in their introductory press conference.
I could see him being a bell cow. I think he's going to be like our Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, like, Alvin Kamara, Austin Eckler. you know,
like, you know, like guys. How they always had another, like they always had another guy behind him. Like Kamara's always had like Latavius Murray.
Or how about Kamara and Mark Ingram? That could kind of be like Swift and Williams, right?
Or even Murray and Kamara, either one. Like, you know, they've always had someone like behind a Kamara, and I feel like that's what Jamal is going to be for a guy like Swift.
Yeah, Malcolm, what do you think?
I'm just hoping and praying it's not like the way Patricia uses guys. The way Patricia used these backs,
oh my god,
it was idiotic. It was idiotic and it was just stupid. He pretty much took him. He plays guy by series. You have one guy play two series, no matter if he's hot or not, take him out. Put another guy in two series. Don't care if he's hot or not, take him out. Put another guy in. It was just so dumb. And like even the guy who was hot in the first quarter probably didn't get another carry to the third quarter, which was idiotic. Right. So as long as they don't do it like that, I'll be happy. And I do think they may ride the hot hand. The thing is, I really want to see it because I don't know if they're going to just say, okay, you're going to be my 1A and you're going to be my 1B. And we're going to split the carries 50-50 and both of you guys are going to run this rock. Or if they're going to just look at what you guys said and say, okay, DeAndre Swift, you're our guy, you know, carry the load. And then when you're tired, you know, we could, you know, we'll spell Williams in there from time to time.
Yeah.
So, what I'm hoping is that they have some type of identity and do it that way. That way, you know, if Swift is a guy, he's gonna have time to get hot. You know, what I don't want is him, you know, get 2-3 carries, take him out the game, and then take 2-3 carries or 3-4 carries and take him out the game, and then that way these guys don't get hot. They don't have a rhythm. So yeah. I hope they do it that way. That they tell Swift, look, you're the guy. Just get these yards, and whenever you tire, we can just sub what's his name in?
Jamal Williams. You know, another thing with Jamal Williams is people forget that he's actually a solid receiver out of the backfield. Like, the Lions have a running back, two running backs that could both catch the ball and run the ball.
And pass block.
And pass block. So that's a huge, plus. Because remember when AP was on the field, it would mostly be a run, and when Swift was both carry on was mostly like so a pass.
Swift is a pass,
dumb.
Bro. Yeah.
It's so dumb. It's
but
so
when you have so stupid. When you have two backs like Swift and Williams, you don't really know what you're gonna do. You could run it, you could pass it, you know.
Yeah. And they could put both of them at the same time. I feel like in certain packages
in a shotgun.
I want to see that. I do want to see
two running back sets on the field. I love two running back sets. Both in the backfield.
21.
I do say this.
Yes.
I do say this. Pierre, I kind of disagree with you as far as who's going to get the most rushing touchdown. I do feel like Williams may outscore Swift in the rushing touchdown stat.
I do think
only because I, only,
I do
only
think
because
it'll be a
I think
closer.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be neck to neck probably. But I do think they're gonna probably use Williams more in the goal line situation. If they
well, you know,
the
like last
line.
Year though, when Swift, like he's smaller, but he was our best like short distance back though.
Oh, I mean,
because he was the best one.
But just because you're small, like a little smaller doesn't mean you still can't get that extra hard yard. Because Swift is really good at like a lot, like making people miss in space.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like just watching Jamal Williams' game in Green Bay, I feel like he's always been that guy where they really relied on him, like in the red zone. And I know fantasy owners, if you're at Aaron Jones, which it was me, you get so frustrated when you see a guy like Jamal Williams in the red zone. You're like, damn, Aaron Jones got you all the way down the field, and you put Jamal Williams on the 20-yard line.
He's 230.
It was always him, I feel like, cashing in like the rushing touchdowns.
He's a big back.
Yeah, I mean, he gets yards too, so I understand the philosophy of putting a guy like Williams
all right,
on.
We have another question from Lucas, and I think after this we could close it off. Nope. Lucas says, do you guys think Hawk will lead the team in targets?
I'll say yes.
Malcolm?
I'm going to say no.
Who is it?
No. Who is it? Who leads the team in targets?
In targets? I think it's going to be it's going to be between – for some reason, I think it's going to be between St. Brown – or Swift.
Okay. If you had to pick one out of those, gun to your head, who are you picking? St. Brown or Swift?
I'm gonna say Brown. I think St. Brown is gonna have a really good rookie year. I feel like he's going to have a really, really good rookie year. And I think that he could lead the league and the team in targets. Hawk, I have to see more from Hawk, man. For him to lead the team in targets, that's a big task. I think he's going to have
You're asking for a rookie amount. Right now. You're asking for a rookie to lead the
targets. I am. But this, he's going to be working from the slot, and I'm picturing him more like how Danny Amendola was with us. I'm picturing that with St. Brown.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, but when you like St. Brown, he's always been working a lot with Goff and stuff, and I think they said was it Goff? I don't know who said it, but they kind of like Goff sort of views him as like a Cooper Kupp type of player. Like they're getting a lot of chemistry down together. Goff is teaching him a lot of things.
Yeah. Now, so, I think with Hawk, I think teams are going to zone in on Hawk, and Hawk is going to have to find a way to beat people when he's being game planned.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen with Hawk, but I also think you enter that third year is when you take that big jump. Like Darius Slay took that big jump his third year. Who else?
I think he's gonna have a phenomenal year. I'm not saying I just think he's gonna have more eyes on him because when you're looking at the team, as a passing threat, he's the main guy. Think teams are gonna zone in. He's gonna be seeing a lot more double teams. So, he's gonna have his fair share of good games. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he's gonna be bad. I just think because of that, there's gonna be less eyes on the rookie. In the slot. That's the only reason why I'm going with either him or more passes in the backfield for Swift, getting or lining Swift up against a linebacker. I could see them taking opportunity that way as well.
Yeah, if I had to guess right now, though, and if Hawk could stay healthy, obviously health's important. I think Hawk will lead the team in receiving yards and targets and touchdowns. Mm. Like receiving touchdowns, if I had to guess right now.
So
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Do you think we have a 1,000-yard receiver this year?
Ooh.
That's Malcolm. The thing
including
is,
Hawk.
Our receivers,
including
when you
Hawk.
Look at our receivers, they've all – other than St. Brown, like the starters, they've all dealt with injuries. Tyrell Williams has dealt with injuries. Rashard Perriman has dealt with injuries. They've also dealt with a lot of inconsistencies. TJ Hawks is entering his third year, but he's been relatively healthy for his career for the most part.
Outside of that one, that hurdle play.
Outside of week, kind of like the, what was it, his first year, right?
Yeah, his rookie year, yep.
Yeah, so these guys, if Hawk could stay healthy, and I think he's obviously going to improve his game. He also has his head coach was a tight ends coach that helps him too. I think that's actually big. When your head coach is a tight ends coach, I think they're going to focus on getting him better. His development is really important for this team going forward.
I will say no, though. We don't have a 100-yard receiver. Thousand-yard receiver. I don't think we have one this year.
It's possible they don't because they didn't the Colts a couple years ago. They had a bunch of guys with 500-600 yards. They didn't really have a 1,000-yard receiver.
I think it's just going to be spread out all over. I don't think we're going to have like a one guy like that.
If remember how we talked guy, about like the Colts Hockenson. Last year? We said they had a good running game, good O-line. The receivers were solid. They didn't really have like a true number one.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of how the Lions are, but I think Hock is like a number one. He just needs to be healthy, and he needs to learn how to break tackles, if I'm being honest.
I wish we had that Colts defense.
The thing is with the Colts, I mean, they didn't have a 1,000-yard receiver, but they had like a 1,200-yard running back. So I guess it kind of balanced it out that, you know, they had that running game with that offense. So
yeah,
if we don't get a 1,000-yard receiver, hopefully, you know, we have some type of balance and our running game does take us. we can rely on the running game to lead this offense because I don't know.
Yeah, another thing is, too, I think, like, teams are going to dare to try to pass. I mean, they're going to stack the box. We know you're going to run the ball. I dare you to pass it. Because, like, when you look at the identity of this football team, the O-line is strong. The receivers are not as strong. The backs are good. The quarterback is, like, decent. So I think they're going to dare teams to pass the ball. I mean, dare us to pass the ball.
I mean, they could.
You look at it, bro, like, who really scares you on the Lions, like, receivers? Like, Hockenson, sure, Swift, sure. After that, like, Tyrell Williams, Brashard. Yeah, Perriman is fast. Williams is, like...
No one scares you, though.
Like, it's no just guy like... really, like... It's not like a guy you circle, oh, we're game planning for this guy. That's probably only Hockenson and Swift, for being honest.
And if we're not going to the offensive line. We can say that right now, but... It just takes one breakout player, bro.
It does. Obviously, like, St. Brown could have a big year. Cephas can maybe improve. Like, a lot of things have to happen, though. It's not like we have, like, a Julio Jones or a Calvin Johnson or, you know, we don't really have, like, a guy, like, that's proven yet. That's proven to be a number one that could carry a team when they need you. Could Hock beat it? I think he could, but he hasn't shown it yet.
There's going to be certain game plans in certain weeks where we're going to circle a guy maybe on this Lions team or, like, defensive coordinators will circle a guy on the Lions because, just going back, like, this guy's not the greatest receiver by any means, but, like, it was a guy that I was scared to death with when we played the Panthers, I remember specifically. I circled all around Curtis Samuel. This is obviously
He destroyed us.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a legitimate defensive coordinator. This is me talking out of my ass. But if I had to assume when the Lions are game planning for the Panthers – you're always going to have some certain guys you're going to circle it for. It might not always be that superstar or that star. You're going to have some guys that are just going to have good matchups on you. And that could potentially happen with the Lions this year when they play opposing teams. Like, maybe a team, they have a nickel corner who's not great with route runners. Maybe, you know, they will circle the game plan on Amon-Ra St. Brown. If he shows he could have, you know, a good start to the season or whatever, you know what I mean? There's going to be certain weeks where maybe the Lions could have certain mismatches where defensive coordinators are like, oh, we have to circle in on this guy or something like that. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it just takes out one player.
Yeah, yeah, obviously, yeah. I mean, there's always a guy that's going to have a certain advantage or a disadvantage when you're playing certain defenses. It all varies by week, and that's why we always say let's take it week by week because it really is a week by week, you know, sport, and you got to take every matchup week by week because you can't forward think in the NFL more than 1 week, in my opinion. It's just that week and that's it. You can't predicting. That's just me. Because, you know, you don't know who's going to be on the field and, you know, what, like, adjustments you're going to make. It's a week by week sport, man. You can't think too forward down the line in the NFL.
And, you know, one thing I loved, like, about Dan Campbell, he talked about, like, how if they think they have a mismatch, they're just going to keep attacking.
They're going to exploit it,
defense or something. Versus Patricia, bro, we talked about this a lot.
Oh, that fucking guy.
They rarely did that. Like, we circled corners who attacked. We said, like, which O-line to put your best D-lineman on or whatever. They just rarely did that. I feel like Campbell's actually going to do that. Like, he's going to attack weaknesses.
The thing with Patricia was he was very stuck
on my way.
Right. It was very, like, stuck on the terminologies like that. We're going to play this way the whole season, and that's it. And
yeah, no matter what.
That's fine for certain matchups. Like, Patricia's terminology is going to work for certain matchups. Not very many, but it's going to work for certain matchups. But when you run that same terminology for every single team in the NFL, it's just idiotic because no team in the NFL is very similar to another team. Everybody's different to a certain degree. Everyone's got a quirk or a twist to their team. And the thing with Patricia, he just had that mentality is like, we're going to run our, you know, our, the team that we run on the team every single week. We're not changing or adjusting. And it's just, that's just not how the NFL works, unfortunately. Like, you have to adjust to every week. I mean, I think it's pretty sad when we are doing previews on this team every year and we could almost somewhat pinpoint mismatches or something the Lions could exploit this week. Right. But the Lions did the same thing every single week. And we'll even say it's like, you know, the Lions should attack the eight gap because, you know, whatever team they're playing this week is not great against stopping the run of the eight gap.
Or attack this corner. He's not good.
Yeah, or attack this corner, or run on the edges. It's always the same game plan every single week with Patricia, and it just came so predictable. It just, that's why it doesn't result in many wins. When you're stuck on one terminology and one plan, you're not going to win many ball games like that.
I think you mean ideology, right? Not terminology, ideology.
Ideology, sorry, yes.
No, you're good, yeah.
Oh, fucking Patricia, man.
Yeah, it's just like, when you stick to one thing, it's just, you know, it's, what do they call it, insanity? If you stick to one thing and keep trying to, like, expect different results, it's insanity.
It's stubborn. It's called stubbornness. Like, failing to change. You're just stubborn. You know, bro, like,
I don't know.
When I heard
just
that
think about Patricia
Campbell
and thinking my stomach
in
hurt.
His presser, I was like, we've been talking about this for the past 3 years, and it's about damn time we're going to start exploiting weaknesses.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard. I mean, like, you're not always going to win every game by exploiting weakness because the team could always adjust, obviously, as well.
They could, like, they could also exploit your weakness. Like,
that's what I'm saying, too, yeah. Like, right? Like, you're not going to win every game just because you're going to exploit, like,
nobody gives you a better chance.
Exactly. That's all I'm trying to say. Like, it doesn't result to, like, that's not, like, I just didn't think that was that hard of, like, of a switch up, like, to switch up your game plan every week. I don't know. It was just very straightforward. This is what the Lions are going to do, and that's it. We're not changing.
I mean, they did exploit weaknesses, but they didn't do it as much as they should. Like, they did it a little.
You saw it somewhere here and there.
Right. I mean, it's the NFL. You have to exploit weaknesses, but, like, I mean, they didn't do it as much as we thought they should. It wasn't like, it was like, dude, like, attack this corner. Why are you keep running the ball when this team has a number one ranked deep run defense? Like, what the hell are we doing here?
Or it felt like it would take a month for, like, a switch up on, like, on defense or an offense. Like, it was like the same thing. We're gonna do it for a few amount of weeks. If it doesn't work, we'll switch it up. Like, you remember the first couple weeks last year with the man defense was like 80%, 70%. They finally switched it up. It was
at the bye week.
A little before that, like week 3 versus the Cardinals is when they remember started to go a little more zone. But it took them 2 weeks when you got killed with your man coverage. Where, like, there was just no switch up. It's just, I don't get it, man.
They never learned how to stop crossing routes all year, all 3 years.
Yeah, doesn't matter who was on the field.
I think AG. I mean, AG and AP, Aaron Glenn and Aubrey Pleasant. Like, they're going to get that fixed. Obviously, it might take some time because these players are learning new terminologies. They're young corners. But I think, like, by week 5 to, like, week 7-ish, I think we'll start seeing on, like, a lot better fundamentally. Because it's always hard learning a new scheme. You have younger players. And you got to remember, these guys were playing for Patricia. So it's different schemes. Everything's different.
Yeah, I mean, no one's saying this is a 1-year fix.
I don't see the team playing much man coverage now next year.
I actually do. They play, like, a lot of split safety looks. So a lot of, like, two-man, not, like, cover one, but you'll see, like, man coverage, but with two safeties on top of you. So if you get beat, you should be protected with two safeties on top of you. A lot of cover two, I'm expecting, you know, so we'll see.
Yeah. All right. I think with that being said, I think that's a wrap. You guys got anything else to add?
Nope. That's it. Malcolm?
No, I'm good, bro.
Okay, that turned out to be fun. That was a fun podcast, boys. Talking some Lions full capacity, talking how me and other fellow Middle Easterns can't get out of Thanksgiving to go watch the Lions live. I mean, Malcolm is stuck in Florida for Thanksgiving. Like, that was fun, I'm boys. Stuck. That was a lot of fun. Not stuck, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
that was fun, though. And then, you know, just breaking down some Lions and our excitement for the new staff coming in. You know, it's going to be a fun time. And, you know, you're starting to smell football a little more. You know, we're only 60 days out now from week 1 for the Lions. And, you know, you're kind of sniffing fall time and football time. And I love summertime right now, but, you know, nothing beats the fall when football is on. And Sunday mornings, you just hear the Fox music or the CBS music or the NFL Network, wherever you're watching. It's just, it's so much fun, and nothing beats the NFL season. So, you know, it's obviously, we're super excited, all three of us, and obviously all Lions fans and just NFL fans in general. It's the best time of the year, and I can't wait. But with that being said, hope you guys all enjoyed, and we'll be back later this week on Spotify Green Room. So if you guys can't listen live, you could always rewind if you're doing that right now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever the hell you listen to your podcast. But I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. I'm out.
All right, y'all. It's your boy, Malcolm. And just as Tyler was saying how excited he is, I got some exciting news about the pod. When the season starts, when the games are rolling, we're actually going to go twice a day on Sunday before, an hour before and an hour after the game. We're going to do a little pregame. We're going to talk about the inactives. And then we're going to have our postgame. We're going to talk about our immediate reaction of the game. So definitely, definitely, definitely tune in for that once that starts rolling. And I'm out, guys. I'm out. Peace out. Peace.